Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, very familiar passage of Scripture, I'm sure that you've read over and over. Each time you read it, you can get a different message from it. And this morning, the title is, When Fallen, You Can Get Up Again, or Get Up. And God helps us do that. So follow along with me as we begin with verse 54. Having arrested him, Jesus, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. After they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, "This man was with them too." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, another saw Peter, and said, "You are one of them too." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." After about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, "Certainly, this man also was with Jesus, for he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know him. What are you talking about?" Immediately, while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine that? The Lord looking right at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, "Before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." And of course, being deeply touched in the heart, knowing he was wrong, it says, "And he went out and wept bitterly." Now, have you ever fallen down spiritually? You know, sometimes, you know, we deal with a lot of emotions in the world. Our emotions, our physical things, spiritually. And we can fall spiritually while running the race. And another question, have you ever been tripped up by Satan? You know, he's out there to trip you up. You're not a failure because you fall, only if you don't get up again. And if you get up just once more, one more time, you fall, then you're a success. In Proverbs speak on this behalf, in chapter 24, verse 16, where it says, "For a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief," or calamity, or I could use other words as well. So what would you think of a preacher who would curse or swear in front of another person, or even a teenager or a child? What would you think about that? Well, Peter did just that and denied the Lord, but in spite of all of that, God gave him a new start, and Peter learned how to fail or fall forward. Now, failure doesn't have to be a hitching post. It can be a guidepost for us. You know, we can learn from our failures and sins, and God has a way of bringing the good out of the bad. And I guess as you think back over your life, you can see how maybe you made some bad choices, bad mistakes, or we call it, we don't want to sugarcoat it, or just sin. And God helps us through it. Now, but you can get up again. You can get up again. You know, we learn from failures and sins. God has a way of bringing the good out of the bad. And some have low self-esteem and think God doesn't see them as a composite of all their failures. But that's not so. As I remember back over my life, as growing up, I, you know, made some bad choices and so forth. And as I think about some of the times I've with my dad and some things that I did, that so luckily I'm still here today. But my dad didn't introduce me as Mike, my son, who threw him off of a back of a go-kart because I turned so quickly going down a state highway. When he told me to turn, get off the highway, I turned quickly and threw him off and then actually, well, ran over his leg. Now, I did that. I mean, that's a true story. Or Mike, my son, who drove our tractor through the barn gate at 7 years old, right through it. I didn't stop. I just went right on through it. I didn't give him time to open it. I rode my motorcycle a week later after having a wreck with bandages still all over my body. And I did that. Or taking my sister and her girlfriends on a joyride in a 55 Chevrolet on a state highway at age 14. I had no license. You know, I could go on and on and on. I was sitting and trying to think about all my life and making journals and so forth. I came up with 60 different episodes like this. 60. And they're all true stories. And I wonder why I'm still here, you know. But my earthly father, of course, he's going on. Be the Lord. Has no need for such drudgeries. He did remember some of these things, but no drudgeries. And my Heavenly Father has no need of such either. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful for that. And when God forgives, He forgets. Sometimes we forgive, we say we don't forget though, right? And the Bible says He forgives and forgets as far as the east is from the west. And that's a long ways, isn't it? Not to say there's no consequences, but from a judgmental perspective, God doesn't hold them against us once He has forgiven us. But we must be sincerely like Peter when the Bible says that he went out and he wept bitterly. That means he was remorse, very sorrowful, knew he had done wrong in his heart, and made amends with God. We have to do that. Well, if we fail God, it will probably be at a point of our greatest strength. The reason I say this, when we fail, it might be at the point of our greatest strength. Now, I want you to think about Peter. Peter's greatest strength, I do believe, was his courage. His courage. Reason I say that, for example, we often criticize Peter for taking his eyes off the Lord on the Sea of Galilee and begin to sink. But guess what? He was willing to get out of the boat, wasn't he? Or when they came to arrest Jesus, Peter pulled out his sword and to defend him, and he tried to cut off the man's head. He did get a piece of his ear. And this, I just look at Peter and I look at it as a big, burly fisherman. However, he cowardly went down and he told this teenage girl that I didn't know him. And that was the area of his greatest strength, I do believe. I want to give you other examples as well. What about Moses? The Bible says that he was the meekest among men. That doesn't, meekness is a strength under control. That's what that means. But what did he do? He lost control of his emotions and killed an Egyptian. Later, Moses smote a rock when God told him to speak, and he was angry, wasn't he? Well, he had a right to be, right? I mean, millions of Jewish people was complaining, bickering the whole time for 40 years. Wouldn't that get under your skin? Yeah, it would. He got under Moses' skin, and they needed water, and God said, speak to the rock, come forth water. And he smote it. You know, first God said, take the rod, raise it up, and speak to the rock. I do believe this was a testing period in Moses' life. Why would he other tell him take his rod? He knew what Moses was going to do. It was a test. It's a test. You know, God places things in our life to test us to see, you know, what we're made of. If we're going to listen to him. The Holy Spirit often will speak to us and tell us not to do something, or this is wrong. And yet, we disregard and go ahead and do it. And because Moses struck the rock twice, God says, your people will not enter into the promised land. What a high price to pay. The consequences of making bad choices. But God forgave Moses for that. Then let's look at Abraham. He is called the father of faith, but he left Canaan and went into Egypt and lied about Sarah, his wife, because he didn't have enough faith that God would protect him. He failed in the area of strength. And then let's look at the life of David. David is a picture of purity, the apple of God's eye, after a man after God's own heart. But he committed adultery, failed in his area of strength. None of these failed in their weaknesses, but in their strength. And oftentimes you've heard me say that, you know, Satan will attack us in our weaknesses, but he will also attack us in our strength as well. Because we all have a tendency to leave our strength unguarded. You know, we have weaknesses, and you dwell on your strength to pull up the weaknesses in your life. If you dwell completely on your weaknesses, whatever strengths you may have in your life, you will pull those down, or they will be pulled down. But God works through our strength. So what I'm saying here, unguarded strength is double weakness. But you know what? You can get up again. The Bible tells us that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, not in your own self, but you're strong in the Lord. That's what Paul is saying here. When I'm weak in my own strength, I am strong in the Lord. For then Paul is saying, I'm depending upon the Lord and not my own self, my own strength, because we will fail. See, pride goes before destruction. Let him that thinks he stand take heed. That's what the Bible says. In verse 33, I didn't read that verse, but we can admire Peter's statement at first. But there is a difference between saying I can do all things through Christ or just I can do all things. Now, if we say I can just do all things, we're leaving God out of it. We must say I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that's why I say even in our failures, we can have strength. And often we fail God in our own strength as well. See, the boastful man is tempting the devil to tempt him. If a person is boastful in their or prideful in their life, then they're tempting the devil to tempt them. Okay, a third thing we sin, the devil is the tempter. After we sin, the devil is our accuser. So once he tempts us, we bite the bait, then he's our accuser and says, see, I told you they'd fail. They'd fall. And then God is there to pick us up. Now, afterwards, he says, you never get up again. That's what Satan will tell you. You've blown it. You might as well not even have tried to serve God. See, Satan is not only for you to fall, but for you to stay down. So let's learn. We can learn how to fall forward. Now, there's three things here, three wonderful truths, how to fail forward. Even when we fail, God is still sovereign, which means God is in control. Now, we often teach our kids at the Good News Club about God's power, God's sovereignty, all-knowing. I mean, we drill them with this so that they will know who to go to when they need a help, that they know that, you know, within themselves, we have no power. We have no knowledge, only through the help of God. In verse 60, it says that the rooster crowed. So the rooster crowing is a testimony that God was still in control. The Lord shut the beaks of 100 roosters until the precise moment of the third denial. Isn't that amazing? What a miracle. In verse 61, right now, Peter is at his worst. He's at his lowest. He's failing. He's falling. He's out of control, but he's got a message from the Lord. I'm still in control. Can you just imagine again, it's when he denied three times and God and the Lord looked at him? Jesus was still in control. His situation to us, or to Peter, was doomed. It was eyes of compassion, eyes of forgiveness when he looked at Peter. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says, if we believe not, yet he abides faithful. The Lord's going to abide faithfully regardless of our lives and sometimes our circumstances, but he'll abide. He'll be always be faithful. See, we often fail God, but he never fails us. Great is his faithfulness. We often sing that song, don't we? Great is his faithfulness. We aren't so great, but how great he is. How great the song, Thou Art. And to learn to fail forward, we must remember that even when we desire and feel out of control, God is still in control. And going back, he is still sovereign. He's still in control. In Romans chapter 8, 28 says, all things work together for the good, for those who love him and called according to his will. See, when you look at that verse, that includes our failures. God works together for the good of us. That means he doesn't give up on us. He's always pulling for us. He's always pulling for us. See, you feel like you've blown it. Maybe you have. But no matter what you've done, God still has a wonderful plan for your life. And how do I know that? How do I know that God still has a wonderful plan for your life? I heard Ed just say this week when I was visiting with him, I'm still here. God must have something for me to do. He still has something he wants me to accomplish. He said, by rights, according to the doctors, I should already been checked out. I said, you're right, Ed. You're right. That's the right attitude to look. That's the right attitude to take, that God has a plan. And I heard Helen Peck say that over and over and over to me as well. Here I'm in the 90s, and why am I still here? He still has a plan. He still wants to use you in your life. And we're still breathing. That's why we're still here. We're breathing. When we fail, God is sympathetic. Verse 61. See, the moment Peter denied, he turned and saw the Lord, and their eyes met. Can you imagine that? Their eyes met. And that's why Peter went out and wept bitterly, because he saw the eyes of compassion of the Lord. It wasn't a condemnation, that look we often get when we make somebody mad and we know it. But it was the eyes of compassion, eyes of love, when their eyes met. And Peter was remorse. That was his strength, his courage that got him through. See, it wasn't a look of disappointment or anger. It was a look of love. See, God is not changing us so that he can love us. He loves us, and therefore, he is changing us. See, God doesn't love us because we are valuable. See, he doesn't really need us. We are valuable because he loves us. See, God loves you just as you are, and he loves you too much to leave you that way. Right? He does. He loves you. But he don't want to leave you that way. And that's why I call unconditional love. We should go also give our children, and as a result, we train and discipline them just like God loves and disciplines us. In Psalms 103:13, it says, just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. A while ago I shared with you some of the mistakes and I did, you know, when I was young, my dad. And later on through the years I said, hey, Dad, you remember all these things? He said, yeah. I said, are you still angry at me? He said, well, I don't remember all of those, but I remember the ones that affected me. And I said, so you don't hold a grudge? He said, no, you're my son. I love you. So I forgave you a long time ago. So you see what this verse is saying here. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him or reverence him. That doesn't mean to be afraid of God, because he is a God of love. And that's how he disciplines us. Through his love. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. And that's unconditional love. See, his grace is not a license to sin. And that's what Paul says in Romans chapter 6. Should we sin so more grace will abound? And then Paul says, he answers that himself. No way. No, we should not do that at all. But it's so good to know that when we fall or fail, he is sympathetic, he is sovereign. And you know what? When you do, you can get up again. Parker and Flossie York were up in years. And Flossie, she ended up getting Alzheimer's disease and so forth, and her memory wasn't very good. But one day, she, for a period of time, came out of that enough that she could think clearly, and she asked Parker, she asked him, do you still want me? And he said it broke his heart. And he said, he looked at Flossie and said, yes, I still want you. I still need you. I still love you. And after that, she went right back into the state of the mind of Alzheimer's. You see, I think that sometimes we feel that way after failing God. We're almost embarrassed to go into Him, to Him in prayer and ask for forgiveness, and that the same old sin occurs again. And the devil causes us to look to heaven and wonder, God, do you even want me? Do you even care for me? Do you even love me? But the good news is, He wants you. He loves you. He's there all the time, waiting patiently in line. His sovereignty can make a lemon out of lemonade out of lemons. You know, you've heard that before, haven't you? If you get to let somebody give you a lemon, make lemonade. I love lemons. I like it in my tea. I like just eating them. And when you fail, the Bible says He's sympathetic. Now, even when we fail, we are secure. And that's something very important for you and I, knowing that we are secure. And the Bible gives us all kinds of scriptures that we are secure in Him. I mean, without Him, we're not. But with Him, we are. Aren't you glad that your salvation doesn't depend upon you? I'm glad for myself, and I know that you are. If you've been born again, you are forever changed. You are safe and secure in His mighty hands. In verses 31 and 32, I want to explain this sifting part, process. Chaff remains in the sifter. Wheat falls through. Satan, the accuser, wanted Peter to fall so he could throw the chaff in God's face. Remember, the Lord said, Peter, Satan is sifting you. He's seeing what you're made out of. He's wanting to know if you're weak or if you're strong. And Peter was strong. His strength was in the Lord. See, Satan wanted to sift Peter to condemn him. Jesus allowed the sifting in order to cleanse Peter, to test him. See, Jesus also knew there was some chaff and that Peter would never deal with it until he became aware of it. He allowed it. And that's why Peter was able to get up again. So, Satan is a malicious motivator. His motives are always evil. And Jesus is benevolent, and He's compassionate. And see, so Jesus used the devil's tool to help Peter see who he really was and where his strength lied. See, Jesus isn't concentrating on the chaff in our life. He sees wheat, and He wants to cleanse you and me. There's three things Jesus knew about Peter: his failure, his faith, and his future. Aren't you glad that He knows that about us? He knows our failures, He knows our faith, and He knows our future. And our future lies in Him. See, Jesus said, Peter, you've blown it big time, but I'm going to help you up, and you're going to be stronger for it. You know, oftentimes when we fail or we fall spiritually, when we get up again, you see, we are to learn. The Bible says that He is there to strengthen us and encourage us. And that's why Paul says, when I am weak, I am strong in the Lord, because He's there for me. And I believe. Well, look at Peter. God was preparing Peter. And I know He prepares you and me for what He's got ahead for us. Whatever He has called you to do, what He's called me to do, I have seen, as I look back through life, how He prepared me for what He was doing for the future in my life. If He hadn't prepared me and I hadn't went through it, then I wouldn't be what I am today. my strength wouldn't have been in the Lord. It would have probably tried. I would try to win on my own strength, and I would have failed. Because I turned to the Lord, and you turned to the Lord, Peter turned to the Lord, then he lifted us up. And he used all of this in Peter's life, because when we get into the book of Acts, first chapter, God put the message on Peter's heart to preach to thousands of people, and in one day, 3,000 people were saved. And the message that he shared, it pricked the people in the heart. They was conscious of their sin. They repented, and they got saved. Because of Peter's failures, he got up again. He trusted the Lord, and he moved on in his life. God knew his future. He prepared. He tested him. He knew his failures. He knew his faith, and he knew his future. And because of that, 3,000 people got saved. See, you're going to write a part of the Bible. That's what Jesus was saying to Peter. You're going to write part of the Bible. You're going to voluntarily be crucified for me upside down. Because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified as Christ. So he requested to be crucified upside down, which he was. And maybe, you know, you failed. And who hasn't? Or fallen. You get up again. Just don't fail to be saved. God wants every man to be saved. Every man is not going to be saved, hasn't been saved, but God gives us that opportunity. And in conclusion, can you see the sovereignty of God behind your struggles? Well, I can. I can look back and I can see the sovereignty or the control of God in my life through my failures in life. He was there for me. He picked me up. I got up and I moved on. And so can you. You see, he's sympathetic and you are secure in him. That's how God works. He's always there for us. He's always there to lift us up. Even when we fall, we fail. We can fall forward, right? Because he knows our failures, he knows our faith, and he knows our future. And we are secure in him. If you're here today and you don't know him as your personal Savior, I would say get on board with him. Get on board with Jesus. He's right there ready to receive you and me and give us that security he's wanting to give everyone who would trust in his holy name. May we pray. Our Father God, we praise your holy name this morning. We thank you for examples that you give us. We thank you for that you inspired your word and you spoke through men like Peter and Luke and Matthew and Mark, Moses and Abraham and David. You spoke through these. They were examples for us to know not what to do, and yet you turned their lives, you changed their lives, and that's the way we should follow as well. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally, Lord, they can before they leave. Because of your Holy Spirit is always at work, working on this heart, wanting to change our motives. Forgive us of our sins and set us on solid ground. Even when we fail, Lord, we can get up again. But you love us, and we are to turn, make a 180-degree turn and go in the opposite direction that we were, just like Peter did. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your unconditional love. As we pray for each one here, whatever the decision needs to be made this very moment, Lord, give them that courage and that strength to do that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is 371. Have thine own way, Lord.